And go to the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. So Proverbs chapter 3, reading verses 1 through 8. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor of good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you bless our time. Father, we ask that you would just give us understanding of the word of God, that you guide us according to your will. Father, I thank you for the songs that we've sung. I thank you, Father, for what you've already spoken to our hearts about today. And Lord, we just commit this hour to you. Father, we need our thoughts to be established. We need our hearts to be guided. And Father, we need to walk away knowing we've spent time in the presence of God. So Father, would you please speak to our hearts from heaven. Father, I ask that you pour out your spirit upon us, giving us the wisdom, the understanding, how to apply scripture to our life. And Father, helping us to truly trust you in all areas of our life as we're talking about truly trusting the Lord today. Father, I ask that you would bless the children. The Lord, continue to speak to their hearts, continue to allow the word of God to take root in their hearts. Father, I ask that you would, Lord, magnify yourself today. It is all about you. Help us, Lord, to see Christ. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, my prayer is that you would do exactly what's needed today. You promised your word would not return void. But Father, you know exactly what each and every one of us needs, whether it's encouragement, whether it's an answer to prayer, Father, whether it's rebuke. Sometimes we need to be rebuked for something in our life. And Father, all of it is good. Lord, when it comes from you, we know that you have a purpose. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to your purpose. And Father, we thank you that we are in the family of God. And Father, I pray that if there may be one person here who fully does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today before they leave, they would know without a shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, and that calling upon his name, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, believing in his death, burial, and resurrection, his sacrifice for them. And Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our life. Thank you, Father, for giving us salvation that we could not earn. But Father, it's a free gift to all those who believe in Jesus Christ and put their faith and trust in his finished work. And thank you, Father, for the wonderful relationship that we have with you. Father, may you bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to us about truly trusting the Lord, because there's probably not one of us in here who doesn't know to trust God, but there may be times in our life where we're truly not trusting him. We are relying upon our capabilities. We're relying upon our own wisdom and what we think is right. But in Scripture, as we look at these verses this morning, we're reminded that God's way is always the right way. God's way will always end with a blessing. It may not make sense when we enter into that storm. When you think about the disciples going into the storm on the Sea of Galilee and them trying to bail out the water, they were fishermen. They knew how to bail water. They knew what the Sea of Galilee was like. They fished on it. They boated on it. And they tried in their own strength to do what they thought they knew, but yet to no avail. It got them nowhere. It got them exhausted. It got them to the point of discouragement. Then they turn to Christ, who's in the boat. They wake him up. I always find that interesting that he's asleep in the hinder part of the ship while they're in the midst of the storm, but that's the Prince of Peace. That's the one that we always should look to. That's the one that gives us peace in the midst of the storm when we're relying on him and trusting him. But those disciples were frantic and they said, Lord, carest thou not? They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The Lord cares. Let's just get to that this morning. Let's just admit we know, and let's just really, if anyone's even guessing or wondering, God truly does care. You don't have to wonder that anymore. He does care. And how I know he cares? You're sitting here this morning. You're alive. He's given you the very breath in your lungs, the heart that's beating. He is involved in your life and he cares very much. But there are times where he allows storms in our life, he allows trials in our life to test our faith, to grow our faith, but also to remind us of what a great God we have. Because when they woke up Christ, he stood up and said, O ye of little faith. He acknowledged that they didn't have great faith. They had some faith because they at least woke him up. And yet he turns to the storm and says, Peace, be still. And then they said, What manner of man is this, that even the waves and the wind obey his voice? Because he's the creator. He's God. So let's always remind ourselves that he truly does care, and he has a reason and a purpose for things that he allows into our life. We have to trust him, even when we don't understand, and truly getting to a place where we truly do trust the Lord and allow ourselves to be guided by him. In verses 5 and 6, very familiar verses, I mention them often, probably when I'm teaching and preaching. It's verses that I will quote to myself at least once a week. It just reminds me of the goodness of God and the fact that my life is in God's hands. I don't have to worry about things. I can trust him and he will follow me. He will help me to follow him, I should say. But in verses 5 and 6, it says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I kind of want to break these verses down this morning to truly help us to get to a place where we can truly trust the Lord without any doubt, without any reservation, without any, you know, honestly, don't even look back on your past life where you did not fully trust the Lord. I have an adversary that always wants us to look at our failures, and that's not my intention this morning. I don't want you to be reminded or to think about, unless God reminds you, of any failures in your life where you weren't fully trusting, because we learn from experience. We learn from experience, and some experiences we'd rather not remember. But there are times where God may remind us of an experience in our life so we can see, you know what, God truly did help me through that. Even though I messed up, God was still there to lift me up and to continue walking with me. You remember Peter? How can you forget Peter? Peter was one that was always putting his foot in his mouth. He was always saying things before he would think. Yet he did make one wonderful statement when Jesus said, Who do you say that I am? And Peter responded, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Then later on, when people left in John 6:66, all the disciples, all the people that were following Jesus, they left, they turned, they followed him no more because of something he said that they just couldn't understand, they couldn't grasp. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, Will you leave also? And again, Peter said, Where shall we go? You have the words of life. So Peter said some wonderful things. He had some things that he knew was true, and he knew that he was following the true Messiah. He was following Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that brings the gift of salvation. But he had moments in his life where he wasn't fully trusting God. Yet he had the faith to step out of a boat and walk on water. First, they were afraid. They were in the midst of the storm. They were afraid. They thought that they were seeing a spirit walking by on the water, and they cried out, and Jesus said, Fear not, it is I. And Peter said, If it's you, it's not wrong to ask God a question. it's a good thing to want to know, God, is this really you leading me? Or is it me wanting to do something? And Peter says, if it's you, bid me to come out where you're at. And Jesus said, come. Now, whether or not Peter was anxious and excited, or all of a sudden, wait a minute, I didn't think he'd say come. But nonetheless, he got out of the boat and walked on water, truly trusting the words of Christ who said, come. Now, like any person, he's out there. I'm sure he's excited walking on water. No one else has ever done that, and no one else will ever do that outside of Christ. But Jesus gave him that ability to be able to walk on water. In the midst of the storm had not stopped. Yet the Bible records that Peter started sinking. He got his eyes off of Christ. He got his eyes off the one that said, come. Jesus said back in Matthew, all that labor and are heavy laden, all that are exhausted, all that have no peace, you have turmoil in your life, you have anxiety, fear. Jesus said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. But Peter is going to Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, yet he looks around the storm that's still raging. He starts to sink because he got his focus off of Christ. His faith started wavering, like the sea being tossed about. He started sinking, but even though he was not fully trusting at that moment, yet he had enough sense and enough faith to cry out and say, Lord, save me. And the Bible records that Jesus lifted him up and they walked back to the boat. Jesus is always there for you. Never forget that. He's always there for you. But you and I, we have to learn to truly trust God. And we see that in these verses this morning. Verse number one, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. There cannot be any reservation. There cannot be any doubt whatsoever. You have to fully trust that God is capable of doing anything for you. He has all power. He is the God of the impossibilities. I want you to look at Psalm 18. Look at some verses to go along with this. First thing that we have to fully start trusting and truly trusting, according to Psalm 18, is God's word. Is God's word. The very Bible that you hold in your hand is the word of God, and you and I need to fully trust it, all of it, from Genesis to Revelation. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully or thoroughly furnished under all good works. God has given us exactly what we need for our faith to grow. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Psalm 18 and verse 30, though, we have to ask ourselves the question this morning, do I fully, truly trust God's word for my life? In Psalm 18 and verse 30, the Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. I'm glad that we serve a God who makes no mistakes. A God who's never led a single person astray. God has planted our feet on that straight and narrow path. God guides our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Again, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. He's a buckler. That word buckler, it's a defensive weapon. It's almost like a shield, but it would be in length about 4 feet in length, and soldiers could use to hide behind it. They would have their shields on their arm, but they would use this buckler that when arrows were being cast in their direction and they were fighting, they could cover their entire body by this full-size shield, this buckler. Think about the word of God. There is wisdom. There is protection in the word of God, because the word of God reminds us who God is. It reminds us of the God that we serve. Our God is not a statue. Our God's not a statue. Our God's a true living God. And to prove it, God allowed the Ark of the Covenant. Back in the Old Testament, he allowed, in the book of Judges, he allowed the Ark of the Covenant to be taken by the enemy, by the Philistines. The Ark of the Covenant was something very precious. It was made out of shittim wood. It was covered in pure gold. It had the mercy seat on top. It had the cherubim angels that were covering the mercy seat. Inside the Ark of the Covenant were the table of stones of the commandments. There was Aaron's rod that had budded. There was some manna in there. I mean, testimonies of God's faithfulness and God's holiness and God's righteousness to his people. But he allowed that to be taken by the Philistines. He allowed that to be taken by the Philistines. And I totally forgot where I was going with that story. Help me out, Sandra. You're my mind. I have no idea where I was going with that. I got sidetracked with, huh? I don't know. I guess it'll come to me. I don't know why I was going to that. Oh, let's. Well, I guess we'll move on because I do not know why I was going with that. I was going with that for a reason. Anyway, when you think about Psalm 18 again, I'll just start right there. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. We can trust God's word because he'll never lead us astray. He'll always tell us the truth. He'll always help us. Again, when I think about just even using the word of God in our life, we have used it to actually help our children to grow in their faith. I know I've mentioned this before, but we taught our young boys at a very young age, their mother did, that when they were afraid to go up to their bedrooms on the second level of the house, it was an older house that they just didn't really like, and they were afraid to go up to their bedroom, their mother taught them Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And they sang that song, they sang the word of God as they went up to their bedroom, and after a while they weren't afraid anymore. Because the word of God sank into their heart, they started believing and trusting what God's word said, that when I am afraid, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You can always trust in the Lord. You can always trust in God's word. Think about what Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5 says. Every word of God is pure. There's not a single error in the word of God. There's no deception in the word of God. There may be people that'll try to twist God's word and cause it to say what they want to say. But when you read God's word, the way it is written down, God will guide you. You'll find hope. You'll find a reason to keep moving forward in life, even when everything in life says it's over, yet you'll always find hope in God's word. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Ask yourself the question, how much do I fully trust God's word? In order to be saved, in order to receive the gift of salvation, in order to have a place in heaven and to be on your way to heaven, in order to see Jesus Christ one day face to face, you have to believe in the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Romans chapter 10, it tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'm reminded again in Proverbs. I mean, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean on unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct their paths. And there's multiple verses, and I believe, I don't know if it was Wednesday night or if it was last week, I was talking about, you know, maybe you, if you don't already have, choosing what we call a life verse, a Bible verse that God has shown you that's been a great help to you, that you always think about it, you always go to it for encouragement, just a verse or a set of verses that just helps you in life, because we're always going to be facing hardships, we're always going to be facing trials, and I'm like anybody else, I pray, Lord, let it be a good day, Lord, just
Just let the sun shine all day. Let the birds chirp. Let the grass be green. The flowers bloom. Just let it be wonderful. But that's not where our faith is tested. Truly trusting in God is trusting in God even in troublous times. Knowing that your God is faithful, knowing I can trust his word, because his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Go to Romans chapter 11. The second thing I want you to think about in trusting the Lord with all your heart, fully trusting God's word, let it be the lamp unto your feet. Let it be the light unto your path. Let God's word give you the wisdom that you need in the life that you're living, because we need to trust in God's wisdom. In Romans chapter 11, and look at verse 33. Romans 11 and verse 33. The Bible says, the depth of the riches... Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Oh, is that what I want? Yeah. Let me read it again. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Trusting in God's wisdom, all right? Listen to it again. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. When you think about God, now I'm not telling you anything you don't know. God's the creator of the heavens and the universe. He's the one that spoke the worlds into existence. He spoke all creation into existence. Just the vast number of different animals. And they're still discovering different animals and stuff to this day. I mean, just the power of God to speak things into existence, the beauty of it, and yet he spends time with you. He knows you by name. And yet he wants us to have his wisdom. Because we're told in Scripture that all that lack wisdom, if we need wisdom, we ask God for wisdom. He'll give us the wisdom that will lead us in the right direction, the wisdom that will lead us according to God's will and God's purpose. Trusting God's wisdom. Maybe you're not like me, but I've learned the hard way a lot of times in my life, choosing what I thought was right. Even when I knew that there was a right way, yet I thought my way was better. And I always found out God's way is always right. God's way is always right. His wisdom will never lead us astray. His wisdom has blessings at the end of it. Psalm 147 verse 5 says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you look up to. Someone who maybe is well educated, very smart. Someone that you know, you can go to them, you can ask them any question. They seem to always have an answer for it. My grandfather was like that. For a little boy, I thought, man, he was the smartest thing in the world. I mean, he could take a tree and just make things out of it, little log cabins and lamps. This is a man I adored, a man I looked up to. And whenever he would talk, even if it was indirectly talking to somebody else, I always sat and listened. There seemed to be a wealth of knowledge coming from him. He was a man that feared God, a man that walked with God, and I've got a couple of his Bibles in my office that I cherish that he personally read and even wrote some things in. But there's not anyone who has more wisdom than God, whose wisdom is above the wisdom of man. God even says in Scripture that the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. Now, again, there are some good people you can listen to, but never let that take the place of God's wisdom in your life. Because you know what? If you're like me, you want to live your life to the fullest. If you're raising children, you want God to help you to raise those children for the Lord, to raise them, to nurture them, and to help them as they will begin their own life when they get to a certain age. And we need God's wisdom in our families, in our personal life, in our dealings with others. But you know what wisdom also tells us? Wisdom tells us to number our days. Our days are numbered. We're not going to live forever on this earth in our current state. There is a time appointed unto men. There is a moment in every person's life that they will meet their Creator. Now, if you're like me, you're looking forward to it. But at the same time, you're wanting some more time. You're wanting some more time with family. You're wanting some more time with your children. You're wanting more time just to live life to the fullest that God's given you. But God's wisdom will help you to live that life according to His will and according to His purpose. So when you and I get to the end of our life, we can say, I finished my course. I've done what God's given me to do. I mean, at the end of your course, you have joy that, you know what? I have faithfully followed the Lord. I've had some hiccups. I've fallen down. But yet God's always been there to help me, to guide me, and to remind me that He's there and I can lean upon Him. God's wisdom, truly trusting in God. And we have to keep asking ourselves the question, do I truly trust God this morning in all areas of my life? I know that He's true. I know He's faithful. I know He'll never do anything wrong. But am I truly trusting God? Am I truly trusting His word? Because this is what God's given us for our life. Now, I'm the typical man. When it comes to putting things together, and you know, you get that piece of paper in the box that has the writings on it, some of it you can't read, and I usually look at the pictures and I'm trying to figure it out, and I'm like, I put that aside, and I've done this before, and put it together. In fact, I put a swing set together one time before, and I had all these extra parts left over. I said, well, they must have just gave me some extra parts. And then I went through it, and I'm missing places. This goes here and this goes there. For the Christian life, for your life, your relationship with God, we can't live it without allowing the Word of God to truly be the lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Truly letting God's Word. Again, my wife keeps telling me, stop being so honest with your life. But there's been times in my life where I've not looked to the Word of God. Where I've tried it. And guess what? Probably like you in different times, it didn't work out the best. It got you further away from God. God's given us things in this world that are a help. Vitamins are a good help. There are certain things that you can take to help when you are sick. Just like spiritually, the only thing that's going to help us spiritually is the Word of God. Truly trusting the Word of God. You won't get that on the social media. You won't get that on the news media. Nobody in this world is really going to encourage you in letting the Word of God be the lamp unto your feet and the light unto your path. But God will. The Holy Spirit that's in your life will point you to what's spiritually going to help you, and that is trusting the Word of God and trusting the wisdom of God and trusting all of God's ways. Again, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Listen to Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Titus chapter 1 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the worlds began. There's one way of salvation we know. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ is the single door of salvation. He's the only one. Even he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So when you read scripture, you come to the conclusion that it's only Jesus Christ. There's no other way. I cannot earn salvation through church membership, through baptism, through any other way. It's Jesus Christ. But even as Isaiah says, it reminds us God's way is always going to be higher than our ways. We've always got to rely upon God and fully trust Him, even when we don't understand. And when he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, that means no reservation. Even if you have some reservation or doubt, be like the father who said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Always be willing to say, Lord, I'm struggling in this area. Lord, I know you can, but I wonder why you would.
Why would you even help me?
What is man that thou art mindful of him? Lord, why do you even care? It's a wonderful thing to be reminded that God does care, that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. The fact that he did die on the cross for you. Now, whether or not he was thinking of your name, which I happen to think he was thinking of everybody he was dying for, he's God. He knows all things. He knew he was dying. When John the Baptist said of Jesus, when Jesus was coming to the Jordan River, where John the Baptist was preaching and baptizing people, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Emmanuel, God with us. The fact is that Jesus Christ dwells within every believer, every born-again believer that's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But you and I still have a tendency to not fully trust God at times. And God wants us to get to that place where we fully trust him in all areas. And we fully say, "Lord, this is what I'm thinking, but Lord, I want to follow what is purely right according to your will." And then seek God through his word and ask God for wisdom and then follow God as he leads you. Because, listen, like I said before, we do serve a true living God. Our Heavenly Father is the creator of the heavens and earth. He's the only reason why this earth is populated with people. You could not convince me of evolution. You could not convince me of a Big Bang theory. Just looking at nature, me just even looking at my life going, I know that there is somebody bigger than this universe. I know there is someone who gives life to every single person on this planet. And I can trust his way as he guides me through this life. Again, when you think about it, young people, teenagers, young adults, and even us older adults, there were times in our life where we wanted to live life our way. And yet God says, "Follow me." Jesus Christ, when you read it in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find Jesus saying, "Follow me." Over and over, he says, "Follow me, follow me, follow me." I know as a teenager, we don't want to follow. We want to be the leader. We want to be the one that does what we want. As a young person, as an older person, even in the older years, sometimes there's still a struggle to follow. But if we follow Christ, we will find blessings. We will find happiness. We'll find peace. And we will find an expected end. Because remember, God said, "I have thoughts of peace towards you," to bring you to an expected end. God's ways are the best ways for us to follow. Somebody once said that God will never let us go, he'll never let us down, and he'll never let us off. You got to kind of think about, what was that person saying? I understand, never let us go, never let us down, but never let us off. And then the light bulb went on one day, and I thought, off the hook. He's never going to let you go. You've been caught, because remember, Jesus told his disciples, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men," drawing men unto Christ. God will never let you off the hook. You as a child of God, though you may wander at times, and you may deliberately choose a different path at some moment, God's never going to let you go. When you read in Scripture, the son who's known as the prodigal son, he tried that. He tried taking his inheritance early from his father. He spent it all up. He got to the end of his wealth, the end of his friends, who were his friends at a certain time because he had all the money. But yet when his money was gone and there was a famine in the land, he had no friends. No one cared for him. He ends up in the pig pen. Again, we can think, why did God even allow that? Why did God allow this son to just lose everything and end up in a pig pen that even the owner of the pigs didn't care about them. Sometimes God allows that to bring us to the point where we realize, as he did, he was better off at his father's house. You know what? There is one person that truly does care about me, and that's God. His ways are right. His wisdom is perfect. His word, it's comforting, it's encouraging, it gives direction. But you know what? We have to come to the place where we truly do trust God with all of our heart, no reservation, where I know that God's ways are right. I know that God loves me. He's manifested his love through Jesus Christ. He continues to work in my life. He continues to draw me unto himself. And every day, I mean, I can even look back on this past week and see where God was working in my life. And I'm sure if you looked back and recounted your week, you would see where God was there helping you, maybe even in the moment you didn't think he was. But God's always there. We can truly trust him. Again, very quickly, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding. It's something that we struggle with. Maybe you don't struggle with it as much as somebody else, but there's always a struggle of really understanding what God's doing. Because we like to know fully what's going to happen before we do anything. And once we get used to it, then we don't think about it. But if it's something new, we want to fully understand how it works, what's going to happen, how it's going to benefit me. But this is where we have to lean not upon our own understanding, and usually it's in difficult moments. You probably rarely question God when everything's going good and you're being blessed. And if you're working a job, you get a promotion, you get a raise, or you know what, you go to the grocery store, there's things on sale. I mean, whatever it is, there's things in your life. When it's good, you don't question God. Why are you doing this? Lord, why are you allowing this to be on sale? Why are you allowing me to get a promotion? But when things are not going right, when there's difficulty, when there's persecution, criticism, people against you, then we start questioning God. Why are you allowing this to happen? And we will, if we're not careful, we'll even start telling God how good we are. Lord, I've been doing all this. I've been faithful to you. Why are you allowing this to happen? Instead of first humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God and saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Reminding ourselves that God is still in control and there's something he wants us to learn. There's something he wants us to do. There's somewhere he wants to take us. Again, the disciples were sent into the storm because Jesus wanted to take them to the other side of the Sea of Galilee so they could see a man who was possessed with demons, cutting himself, living among the tombs, life out of control. He wanted them to see that even in the midst of storms, even with someone's life upside down, God still has the power to turn it right side up. God still has the power to break the chains, to break the spiritual bondage in someone's life. You may have a spiritual bondage in your life right now. There may be something you're struggling with. I don't know. Maybe you're struggling with quitting smoking, drinking, bitterness, unforgiveness. There's something in your life maybe you're struggling with, and God has the power to break those chains. You have victory in Jesus Christ. Again, leaning not upon our own understanding, we don't have to understand God's ways all the time to know that he will lead us in the right path. The Bible reminds us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered wisely after the Lord. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitfully above all things. the Bible tells us, don't lean upon your understanding. Don't trust your heart. Don't trust your feelings. But lean upon God. Trust God's direction. But as for you, in Genesis 50 and verse 20, this is honestly where we can apply it to our life. A true account of someone who was hated by his family, sold into slavery, lied about, thrown into prison, and yet it was all part of God's purpose. God's not the author of evil. God does not do evil, but he'll use it for good. And in Joseph's life, he used it to get Joseph into Egypt to become second in command to Egypt, or second in command of Pharaoh, so that he could save his family. He could save the nation of Israel. He could save God's people. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, Joseph, speaking to his brothers, says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Remember, God always has a purpose in your life. He always has a reason for what he does, and we can trust him. And remember, we're always tempted to think the person in front of us is the enemy. Whether it's someone who is hateful to us, someone who curses us, someone who's mean to us. But remember, like we said in Sunday school, we're in a spiritual battle. The Bible reminds us it's a spiritual battle. And God will turn the evil into good. He'll turn it around. But we have to fully trust him. Fully trust and lean upon God and not our own understanding. In Job chapter 13 and verse 15, you know the life of Job. He loses everything. He loses his children. He loses his wealth. He loses his livestock. Even his health. Even it seems like his own wife turns against him and says, "Curse God and die." She's lost her children. She's being affected by the same trial that has come to their family. And Job learns through it all. Job got to a place where he started questioning God and started saying, "God, if you would not have given me this life, I would not be in this mess." Almost blaming God for it. But then Job gets to a place where Job says in Job 13 and verse 15, "Though he slay me," talking about God, "though God takes my life, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." I will trust in him. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Have we come to that point in our life where we can truly say, and God knows our heart, truly say, "God, whatever happens, I will always fully trust you because I know that you have my best interest in mind. I know my life is in the palm of your hands. I know you've not brought me into this life to destroy me, but you've brought me into this life so I have a relationship with Christ, so I can see the power of God in my life, and I can see the blessings of God in my life, and I can walk with God and have a relationship with God and see God doing great and mighty things," like Jeremiah said. Seeing God do great and mighty things. Last thing I want you to think about, look back at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Again, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Again, I mentioned it in Sunday school, but Romans chapter 12 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Our minds have to be renewed. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. But then he had to get Egypt out of their hearts. Because very soon, not too long after they were in the wilderness, they were talking about going back into Egypt. They thought God had deserted them. They thought that God had brought them out to the desert to leave them. And they said, We remember the leeks, the onions. We remember what we had, but they were forgetting the taskmasters. They were forgetting the bondage. They were forgetting the fact that that's not where God was. God brought them out to bless them, to bring them into a place, the promised land. God has brought us out of the world. We still live in the world, but he's brought us out to fellowship with him, to walk with him, to follow him, to experience the blessings of God in our life. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge that God is in control. Acknowledge that God is a part of your life. Now, again, I know people that try to live their life apart from God. Those that are Christian. Those that claim to be a follower of Christ. Those that claim that, oh yeah, there's one true living God, yet they try to separate. And this is something that I have to even, we've had to teach some of our young kids, because when you're raising kids, you want them to understand that church, the place that you go, Sunday school, and be with other kids, and you see a body of believers, you see people, you've got to help them understand not to separate that from their ordinary life. This is to be a part of our daily life. Not that we'll see everybody every day, but there are believers. Remember, Elijah got to the point where he said, I and only I am the only one. And yet the Lord said, there's 7,000 have not bowed the knee. There are others, you may not see them, but you get encouragement when you see one another, when you see other believers that you know are living their life for the Lord. They have a walk with God. And when you think about just the fact that you can't separate your daily devotions from your daily living. You read your Bible every day. You can't say, okay, well, I've spent time with God, so God, I'll see you tomorrow at this time, and then go live your life. It doesn't work. You've got to combine the two, because it's a relationship with God and God directing our steps, because you're going to. Unfortunately, sometime this next week, we will face something that we need God's wisdom. We need God's direction. We need God's help. So we enter the week by even starting off by recognizing, God, I need you. I trust you. I know you're going to guide my steps. Help me to faithfully follow. Help me to faithfully trust you. And when I don't understand what's going on, help me by faith just to lean upon you and to trust that you will lead me through it and you'll give me the wisdom that I need. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22, Jesus said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Jesus was saying, focus on me. Focus on the author and finisher of your faith. Because you know what? There could be a multiple of answers that come to your mind that you're faced with that, you know what? I loved multiplication in school. I hated the test where it was fill in the blank. I loved multiplication because at least I had a 50-50 chance of getting it right. But God doesn't want us to use him as a multiplication test. He wants us to fully trust him and say, Lord, guide me. I fully trust you. I mean, there have been, again, times in my life, as I know, in times in your life, many of mine included a hospital with my kids, not knowing what's going to happen, even asking God, why am I here again? Why am I in this position again? Lord, I'd rather it be me on the operating table than my child. And yet, every single time, God gave me and my wife scripture to comfort us and to remind us he's in control, everything's going to be fine. And we would rest in that assurance, trusting what God said in his word, trusting who God is. He's a God that cannot lie. He's never changes, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But fully coming to the place where we truly trust God, and it shows in our actions. It shows in our actions. We can say it, but actions speak louder than words. You don't have to prove it to me. There's nobody in here you have to prove it to. It's just showing the one that you love, Lord, I'm going to be faithful. Faithfully entrusting you, following you, allowing you to be in full control of my life, helping me to be that testimony like Daniel was, so that I can be an influence in somebody else's life of the power of God in my life. Last place I want you to think about, go with me if you would to James chapter 1. Last verse and then we'll quit. James chapter 1 and verse 25. Back up if you would. Verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God promises blessings in following him faithfully, blessings in truly trusting him, trusting his word, trusting his wisdom, his direction. And I'll just warn you right now, you still have an adversary. That adversary hates the truth of God's word. But Jesus used scripture three times in the wilderness to defeat the devil. Three times Jesus said, thus saith the Lord, it is written, thus saith the Lord. And the devil left him, the Bible says, for a season. You know the truth. You already know these truths. You've read them in your Bible before. But the devil is always there wanting to snatch the seeds that God wants to sow in your heart and my heart. We have to purpose in our heart like Daniel. I'm going to keep trusting God. I'm going to keep following God. I'm not going to allow myself to question why all these things are happening. But I'm going to trust in prayer like Daniel did, and I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep asking God for help. I'm going to keep following God and letting God accomplish his will in my life. And I promise you will see the blessings of God by faithfully, truly trusting him in every aspect of your life. Listen, there's a range of ages in here. Some are on social media, some aren't. You're not going to get encouraged on Facebook. There might be some Christians, and you can use it for good. The internet can be used for good, but just be reminded, there is evil out there. The best place that you're going to get your encouragement is in God's love letter to you. It's God's word to you and me. As the days grow longer and we get closer to the end, the return of Jesus Christ, and we're looking for the blessed hope, we know one day he's going to appear because God tells us in his word. Keep looking to him. Keep your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. Keep trusting him. Don't allow the world to dictate your relationship and your faith in God. Allow God's word to do that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Truly trusting God. Father, we